There's a fascinating chiddush from the Marashal in Yom Shleima brought down in the place Kim and Cheshem Mishpat regarding the Isser of Loisagur B'Pnei Ish. We know that a dayan has to adjudicate a din Torah that comes before him in a fair and just manner. And he's not allowed to deviate from the MS. He's not allowed to sway a judgment in favor of any particular litigant. And the Torah says Loisagur B'Pnei Ish. Even if one of the litigants is aggressive and perhaps the judge is being intimidated by him, nevertheless, don't be fearful, says the Torah. So, gum the ish, it's a law in the Torah, you have to adjudicate fairly, and you have to disregard any threat or any intimidation on the part of the litigant. The Chinuch brings down a very big chiddush from the Sifri, where the Sifri says that even if the person threatens to burn down your home, to burn down your godish, to burn down your tvua, or, says the Sifri, even if he threatens to kill your family, kill your son, still, loisagur b'nei ish, judge fairly. You're not allowed to deviate from the MS. You're not allowed to sway a judgment. You're not allowed to curry favor with this particular person, even if he's threatening to kill either you or your family. And the question is that we know that there are only three averis that we have the rule of Yehori Valyava for. Three averis, and that is the avera of Gili Arayis, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah. Only these three Isurim do we find the Isur of the din of Yehori Vayava. And the question is, why, when it comes to this Isur of Loisagur B'nei Ish, does the Chinuch say that this Isur applies even if he's threatening to kill your kids or your family? We should say that when it comes to a Matzav of Sakona, there is no Isur of Loisagur B'nei Ish, you're allowed to deviate from the truth. Why does this Isser seemingly apply even in a matzav sakana? Even in a matzav of sakana, even in a state of danger, the Sifri seems to imply that the Isser is fully in effect. So there is one mahalach that the Maram Shik wants to suggest based on the Shittim Mekubetzes, that perhaps this particular Sifri is going like the Shita of Rameyer, who seems to say that there's a din yehorig val yavar even when it comes to din igzelo, even when it comes to taking someone else's money, shaloi kedin, there's an iser of Yehori Valyava. We don't pass him like the Shita, but perhaps the Sifri is going with that opinion. And therefore, even though we're talking about swaying a judgment and wrongfully taking the money of one person from the other person, so we wouldn't pass him that there's a din Yehori Valyava for this halacha, but according to our Meir, there is, because Lamaisa, you're taking someone else's money, shaloi kedin. Therefore, perhaps it falls under the category of Gzela, and that's why the Sifri is assuming that the din is Yehorig Valyava. However, this is a chiddush. Most Paiskim don't seem to assume like this. But there's another tzad that the Paiskim bring down, and this appears in the Shari Tshuva from Ben Yoyna, where he's mitzadeh that perhaps we should say that the Sifri is not telling you that even if there's a state of danger, you're supposed to adjudicate the din Torah fairly and justly and not worry about any particular litigant's threats to someone's life. What the Sifri is perhaps saying is, says Rabbi Yoyno, not that you should disregard the sakana, but that there's a haftacha, the Torah is saying that there won't be a matzav of sakana. The Torah is saying that if you continue on the correct path and judge fairly in spite of any threat or potential intimidation on the part of a litigant, then the Torah is promising that there will not be a state of danger that appears. Rather, there is nothing going to happen to your son, there is nothing going to happen to your godish, to your home, and your threats Hashem will take care of, and you won't have to worry about it. That's one side. However, again, this is considered a chiddush, because pashtos, the Sifri is not telling you that no sakana will arise from this threat, but rather it's saying that you're supposed to disregard the threat and judge fairly in spite of the impending danger that the judgment will cause. So here comes the Marashal. The Marmshik discusses this question, and he cites the Marashal. Other Paiskim as well cite the Marashal. The Marashal is in Yom Shoshleimah on the Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Lamed Ches. The Gemara over there is saying that there's a tour in the Torah of Re'ehu that even though if a goy's ox gores a yid's ox, he has to pay for it. Nevertheless, Re'ehu excludes a yid's ox from having to pay or from the Bailam of the Yid's ox having to pay if the Jew's ox gores the Goy's ox. So even though if a Goy's ox gores the shor of a Yid, he's going to be chayiv, nevertheless, the reverse is not true. If a Yid's ox gores a Goy's ox, the owner of the Yid's of the ox is going to be potter because of the miut of Re'ehu. And the Gemara says that the Romans sent a couple of representatives to learn the Torah and to see what the Torah is all about. And they were taught the Torah by Klal Yisrael, by the Rabbonim, and they basically surmised afterwards that if they were to report back and tell the Roman government the entire scope of the Torah, so they would be tzufriden with some of it, but by the halacha of Re'ehu, saying that dafka, if a yid's ox gores a guy's ox, he's potter because the guy is not re'ehu. But the reverse case is not true. If the yid's ox gets gored by a guy's ox, he's chayiv. That's not fair. And they would be very upset. And the Roman government would be very angry. So the representative said that even though they felt that this particular halacha doesn't make sense, they're not going to report this halacha back to the Roman authorities because of the potential sakana that this will place the Jewish community in. As I said, so they taught the Torah to them, they were tzufriden, they were happy, but they said, this halacha doesn't make sense, we won't report it back to the Roman government because they will be very upset, and they will kill you all, potentially, as a result. Frektemar Yam Shal Shlema, why in the first place did the Yidden teach this halacha of Re'ehu to these two Roman representatives? It should have been omitted because of the potential sakana involved. If they taught them this halacha, and they in fact relayed the message to the Roman authorities, this would put the Jewish community in a state of danger. Why bechlal did they teach them this halacha? It should be a situation of sakana where we say that you rather violate the iser, rather don't teach them the iser, and in that way avoid a potential sakana. So the Marashal basically says the Yisoy, and that is that even though only by three Averis do we really find the klal of Yehoring Layava, that when it comes to only these three specific Averis of Shvichas Damim, Gilui Arayos, and Avodah Zarah, do we find that you're supposed to rather give up your life than violate these Yisurim. Nevertheless, says the Marashal, when it comes to falsifying the Torah, taking the Torah and deviating from its truth, that is something that you have to give up your life rather than do. Don't be machriv, the amitos of the Torah. Don't detract from the authenticity of the Torah. And says the Marshal, that is something that we even give up our lives rather than do. And therefore, when it came to teaching the Goyim, the Romans, the wrong Torah, taking a halacha and falsifying the halacha, that is something that is off limits, even if it's a matzav of sakana. And therefore, they taught them this halacha, even though they knew that there was a potential danger involved. Mamela, some of the places can say that that would be perhaps pshat in the Sifri. Even though, when it comes to all Isurim in the Torah, the din is, if there's a state of danger that arises, be in violation of this halacha rather than give up your life. And only by three particular aveiros do we say Yehorg v'Yavar. Nevertheless, falsifying the Torah is different. Falsifying the Torah is different. That is something that is off limits, even though we're not talking about the Gimel Aveiros Chamuros. And therefore, perhaps that's why there's an Isser, according to the Sifri at least, of Lo Yisagur B'Nayish, even if there's a potential danger involved. You can't falsify the Torah. So even though, even in the Chinuch, before you hear the two sides, before you know the proper halacha, you're allowed to recuse yourself if one of the litigants is aggressive and intimidating and is threatening. But once you already heard the two cases and you already know what the halacha is, you can't falsify the Torah and rule falsely, even if the person is threatening to kill the Dayan's family, the Dayan himself, because you cannot falsify the Torah no matter what, no matter when.